January, the 29th of September, 2025. And I'm going to do the sharing of Joseph in the palace. We've covered Joseph's life, and the subject's about the stewardship. So we're looking at stewardship in someone's life and the great blessings and benefits that brings when we're faithful and when we steward the things that God gives us. We've built an overview of Joseph's stewardship, starting from Potiphar's house through to the prison house. And then we've highlighted the key qualities that mark Joseph as a faithful steward. And I've used King James Version scripture throughout for clarity. I've given you Version scripture that you can go and read and you can look up for yourself. So Joseph's stewardship. So we're going to have a quick overview. So Joseph's steward, the first place that we see him steward the things of God was in Potiphar's house. And Joseph's first major stewardship responsibility came when he was sold as a slave into Potiphar's house, right? So Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Now, he's just been sold into slavery, and it says that Joseph was a prosperous man because God was with him, right? So we know God's with us, and we're also prosperous, and that's something we can take from this, you know, that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he was an Egyptian Potiphar, and he was the master of Joseph. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and I love that, because like people can see if God is with us. All depends how we live, how we conduct ourselves, the way we speak and what we do. And it says, "And the Lord made all that he did, all that Joseph did, to prosper in his hand." So Joseph's success was mainly because God was with him and God was causing the things to prosper in his life. And the reason why God done that, because there was a plan and a purpose. Plus, Joseph had integrity of heart. He had a great love for God and he was, you know, a great young man. And it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, in the sight of Potiphar, and he served him. And he made him overseer." So Potiphar made him, Joseph, overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. So everything that Potiphar owned and had, he put Joseph in charge of it. It's like someone coming into our house and you just giving them the charge of everything. So what did Joseph steward? So Joseph stewarded the entire household operations. So Potiphar had servants, accounts, property, and things like that. So Joseph overseen all these things. And Potiphar's possession, you can read in Genesis 39:5, it says, he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. So Joseph was such a great guy for him to be put in charge of all those things. And to get the trust of his master. And Joseph proved himself to be faithful and upright. So he had great integrity. He was faithful to do what he needed to do. And he was upright, honest. And so he was someone that you would willingly give responsibility to do the things for you. You know, and I think that's a big key. When we know someone in our life is faithful and they're reliable, then we're going to have them around. We're going to get them to do things for us, you know, or bless them, because we see their steadfastness, we see their loyalty. And loyalty is a very big thing, you know. We can have that within ourselves if we choose to, or we can just have an attitude of, well, I'm going to do what I want, I ain't worried about anybody else, you know. So those things all shine out, and we're to shine as lights in this world. So it all depends where our attitude, where our heart is on everything. So anyway, we know that Potiphar's wife tried it on with Joseph, and Joseph refused her, and he rushed away from her, and but she caught hold of his dressing gown or robe and kept it, and then said, "Oh, he's tried to rape me," you know. So she gave false accusation about this young man Joseph. So even after being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, Joseph's stewardship quality did not disappear. They followed him into the prison, because obviously then Potiphar, because he thought he believed his wife, he chucked Joseph into the prison, which was really unjust because he didn't do anything wrong, but he had no evidence to prove that he didn't do anything wrong. And obviously the man's going to take the side of his wife, right? So in Genesis 39, verses 21 through to 23, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. and that he, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. So the keeper of the prison put everything in Joseph's hands, and the keeper didn't look to anything that Joseph done, because he knew that this guy was blessed, right? So what did Joseph steward in the prison? So we've gone from Potiphar's house now to the prison, and what he actually oversaw in the prison. I mean, that's a great responsibility, especially when you're in the prison yourself. So this is what he stewarded. It says the care and the order of all the prisoners. So that's what he oversaw in the prison, the administration of people under the confinement of their, you know, being in prison. So the responsibility for the prison itself, since the keeper looked not to anything under Joseph's charge, so he had the run, like he had the run of the prison, you know, in the sense of looking after the prisoners and the operations of the prison running smoothly and nicely, people's food and all this type of stuff. And then he was also an interpreter of dreams, Joseph. And so there was a cupbearer and there was a baker, and he interpreted their dreams. And so this showed also, not only did he do the physical things, but his spiritual abilities. You know, Joseph Stewart, you know, he operated the wisdom from God when it was needed, and he brought answers and solutions to other people. So the key qualities of Joseph's stewardship across both Potiphar's house and the prison, Joseph consistently demonstrated these following qualities. Faithfulness. Joseph was faithful in the little things, which prepared him for greater things. Just like it says in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. And Potiphar and the prison keeper both trusted him fully. He had integrity, and he resisted temptation from Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39:9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because that's how Joseph viewed it, that he wasn't sinning against Potiphar, that he was sinning against God. So his integrity preserved his character even when it cost him his position, because he ended up in the prison, right? So he had diligence and he had excellence. So whatever he did it well, and the Lord made it to prosper. And we can learn to do that, you know, we can learn to do the things unto God and not unto ourselves. So even if we have someone come to our house, we can serve them as a good host to them and do it unto God, like we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, for an example. So like when Becky comes for a one-on-one, I do a nice cup of coffee and a slice of cake. Or she'd bring the cake with her. But, you know, I make sure that she's, you know, welcome, God bless you, would you like a drink, get a drink, and then we do our one-on-one. So you look after people when they come to your house. You be a good host to people. And so that is most important. And it also says in the scripture that we should be given to hospitality, which means that we love people coming to our homes. We love people being around us, and we want to give them the best. We want to show them our nice house. We want to show them our nice garden. We want to do good to them. We want to give them a nice meal. And Kim's very good at doing that. You know, she is a great host. She'll put on a great spread, great food. She'll work her ass off, and she won't sit down until everyone has been served and she's done everything good. And then she'd tidy up all after herself as well, not asking for any help from anyone. Like, so she's very diligent. What she does prospers because she does it with heart. And that's what God wants us to do. And the heart is doing it unto God. So whatever we do, we can learn to do it, not because, well, I better do this because people are watching me, or I better do this so people don't talk about me. I'll do this because I'm doing this unto God, and I'm serving these people like they were the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. So that's a great heart to have. That's also integrity, you know. And we don't make a big show of it. We just get on and do it. So his diligence caused him to rise quickly in responsibility, and it showed out. People seeing that, oh, there's something different about this Joseph. So, and also Joseph's dependency was on God. His success was not just his skill, but the presence of God with him, you know. And people knew that God was with him, and there was just something different about this guy. Everyone loved him, you know, because of the presence of God being with him. And then God made everything to prosper in his hand, and God can make everything to prosper in your hand. It all depends where your heart is, right? So even in interpreting dreams, you know, Joseph, you know, he interpreted people's dreams so that they could get answers to what God was showing them, and that they could get wisdom and discretion And so he brought his decisions and oversight, and he gave order and peace and prosperity through the how he acted and how he blessed. So when Joseph was in charge, Potiphar's house, when it was running smoothly before he got cured, everything ran smoothly in the prison, everything ran smoothly, so everybody else prospered. So both Potiphar and the prison keeper saw the difference in Joseph's stewardship. You know, and Joseph was resilient also. He put up with false accusations. You know, despite the betrayal, he stayed faithful to God. And he didn't flunk out, well, I've done everything right and now I've been falsely accused. And he didn't give up. So despite the betrayal, you know, and the false accusations and imprisonment, Joseph maintained his faithfulness and stewardship. And he continued to move with God. He didn't shrink back from the responsibility, even in adversity. And a lot of people will shrink back when things are not going right for them. Oh, I've done everything. You know, what's the point of me serving? What's the point of me preaching? What's the point of me opening up my home? What's the point of me doing fellowship? What's the point of me witnessing? You know, everyone puts me down. That is a bad attitude, even though it may seem like that way. If we stay faithful with God, you know, and we steward our heart and our minds and our emotions, because we're talking about stewardship here, then, you know, it still keep us in good standing for later on down the road, you know, even if we're going through something. So what you go through, you can grow through. And it all depends upon your attitude in the situation. And we can see Joseph had an excellent attitude. You know, and I also know, like you can read other parts of the scripture, like Psalms, that Joseph was beaten in the prison. Like they used to beat the feet, you know, with fetters, like, and bang, bang, you know, and that was really painful. So he did suffer also. And Joseph is like a type of Jesus Christ. So like if you look at the life of Joseph and what he went through, and then you compare that to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done, is pretty much similar, and it's a great example. So, you know, Joseph's stewardship shows in Potiphar's house. He managed Potiphar's possessions and property and household and affairs with integrity. In the prison, he managed people, systems, and his spiritual, you know, blessings, and with faithfulness. So his key qualities was faithfulness, integrity, diligence, and dependence on God's wisdom and resilience. And these were the foundation, you know, for his effectual exaltation as a steward over all Egypt. So in other words, Joseph's stewardship grew with each season, from managing a house to a prison to finally managing a nation, because he was consistent in character and faith. So now that was the overview of, you know, where Joseph was and what happened. Everyone knows the story. So I've just given an overview, a basic outline of the heart of the stewardship. So now we're going to have a look in the palace. It's really interesting. Joseph's stewardship as second in command over Egypt is one of the richest example of a wise and faithful management in all of the scriptures. So in all of the scriptures, this is the great example you'll get of someone's heart, their faithfulness, their integrity, their stewardship. It's great to really see, and we can take that on ourselves and desire to God to be like that. So Pharaoh, when he exalted him to his position, Joseph was entrusted with unparalleled responsibility. Right, so Joseph's appointment by Pharaoh was this. Genesis 41, verses 40 to 41, it says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And verse 44, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee, you, Joseph, shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." So he gave everything over to Joseph to manage. Everything. Apart from the throne, the seat of authority. And it's a pretty much like Jesus Christ now, that God has put everything in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ right now as it is today. So Jesus Christ has all power and authority, except in the throne of God, right? And so it's pretty much similar. in the sense of how that's set up. And when everything is done, when God has completed everything, when we've been raptured, gathered together, come back, and we've ruled and reigned, and all these things have happened, then Jesus would give all the power and authority back to God. And so Joseph had great responsibility, and Jesus Christ now is the head of the church. He's bigger than the whole universe, according to Colossians, in the book of Colossians, when we read what God has done by him and all the authority and power he's given him. So Jesus was very faithful. He was a steward. He had great integrity, you know. He was our Lord and Savior also. And in Genesis 41:40, I'll read it again. So it really is good. You listen to this, you know, like, so Pharaoh, who's in charge of everything, says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled." So what Joseph says went. Don't forget where he started off. He started off in the pit, you know. He started off with all the blessings, you know, the dreams from God. And then his brothers getting jealous, beating him up, throwing him to pit. And then sold him into slavery, into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accused him when he was totally innocent. And he went into the prison. And then the prison guard made him ruler over all right to this point now. To be ruler over all of the people of Egypt. And it says, "Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh made Joseph second only to himself. Joseph had executive authority over all. And what did he have authority over? The economy, the agriculture, the storage, the distribution of food and wealth. He had authority over the people, the labour, the relocation, the survival of everything. He had resources over the finances and the wealth, money, livestock and land and taxation. Right, foreign relationships. Nations came to Egypt to buy food. So the comparison to modern roles. So he was like a prime minister, so to speak. Like we got a prime minister today that we don't particularly go for, but he has that same kind of authority, or a president. You know, so Pharaoh remained the sovereign head, like a king or a monarch. So we got a prime minister and we got a king, right? King Charles. And then we got the prime minister, I don't even want to mention his name, but we got him as a prime minister. And so Joseph would be equivalent to like a prime minister. And Joseph was the chief administrator of the kingdom, running day-to-day affairs, like our prime minister does today here in our land, right? So he had great authority. And Pharaoh gave Joseph his signet ring. And that's in Genesis 41, verse 42, which is like giving him the authority to sign decrees in the king's name. So this signet ring, wherever that was, that meant the king's put a blessing on that and given the go-ahead or whatever it was, right? So it was like a green light for everything. So, and he was also like a president or executive chief. So Joseph's words carried binding authority across the land. What he said went. And this is what God had done for Joseph, you know, because of his faithfulness and his integrity and his stewardship. So with stewardship comes great blessing. Also comes great responsibility, because we're looking after something that is someone else. And that's what stewardship is. We're managing somebody else's wealth or what they've got. And when we look at our own life and we look at our own finances, what you've got is God's. And God has blessed you with the money and the finances and the resources you've got. And he wants you to steward it. He wants you to make it last. He wants you to put it to work. He wants you to make it spread. So, you know, so Joseph, he managed national policies, economy systems, taxation, food security, public order. And the people bowed before him. Right, that's in Genesis 41, verse 43, acknowledging his executive power. So in summary, Joseph was not Pharaoh, but he was second in command with executive power over all Egypt. And Pharaoh held the throne and ultimate kingship. So that's the setup there. So Joseph functioned as prime minister or chief advisor and administrator. So in modern terms, Pharaoh was like the monarch or head of state, while Joseph was like the head of government, prime minister, president, who ensured the nation's survival and prosperity. What a blessing. Like, what to have that in our lives, what an amazing thing. So the appointment of Joseph is in Genesis 41, verses 39 to 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph's stewardship began the moment Pharaoh recognized God's wisdom in him and entrusted him with governing the whole land of Egypt. So what Joseph steward as second in command? Number one, the land of Egypt. Joseph was not just Pharaoh's helper, he was given direct authority over the entire land. And Genesis 41 verses 43 to 44, and Pharaoh put his ring on Joseph's hand, clothed him in fine linen, and made all bow the knee, giving him command over the nation's daily life and affairs. This means Joseph steward the economy, agriculture, administration, and the people's affairs. The storehouse of the grain he steward. So the most famous aspect of Joseph's stewardship was the storage of the food during the 7 years of plenty. Because remember, there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. So Genesis 41 verses 48 and 49 says, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. There was so much that he stopped counting because there was just loads of it. And Joseph stewarded the seed and harvest, right? So he harvested the seed and the cycles of the seed wisely, ensuring the future safety of the nation. So it was all stored up, so when there was famine for 7 years, it fed everyone. It fed the whole world. People came afar to get seed from Egypt. So it made Egypt really wealthy, and it also preserved Joseph and the people of not only Egypt, but God's line and what God set up, because from Joseph's family came the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So the distribution of the food in the famine, that's what he also stewarded. When famine struck, Joseph opened the storehouses, Genesis 41, verses 56 to 57. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. So Joseph managed distribution systems so that the people and even surrounding nations survived. I think that's amazing. God took care of everyone. He not only fed Egypt, but preserved the life of the world, including his own family. And the finances of Egypt, Joseph managed the economy so effectively that Pharaoh became immensely wealthy, right? Genesis 47:14, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they brought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So later, when the people had no money, Joseph accepted livestock. So people ran out of money. So then he started to get livestock, Genesis 47, verses 16 to 17, and then land, Genesis 47, 20, and eventually organized Egypt's land under Pharaoh's direct ownership. So then Pharaoh started to own all of that stuff, right? So he stewarded wealth, resources, and the taxation of the people, and he stewarded the people themselves. So Joseph also managed human stewardship, the life and labor of the Egyptians, Genesis 47:21. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end thereof. So he organized the people into a system of work and provision so they could survive while Pharaoh's authority was strengthened. And then the fulfillment of God's plan. So above all, Joseph stewarded God's vision. He told his brothers, right? So what he told his brothers in the beginning of what he was going to do, Joseph stewarded all of this. This was God's vision. And so like your vision is also God's vision. And we got to remember that it originates from God, the desires he puts in your heart of what you're going to do for him. So Genesis 15, verses 20 says, but as for you, this is what he said to his family, Joseph, to his brothers, but as for you, you fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God allowed this whole thing to happen so that people could stay alive, right? And Joseph's Jewish, it was not just about food and money. It was about preserving the covenant line through which Christ would come. Like the 12 tribes of Israel was through Joseph's family, his brothers. And then through that would the line of Christ come. So the summary of Joseph's stewardship in Egypt is this, and then I'll be finished. When Joseph became second in command, he stewarded the land, Egypt itself, the storehouses of grain, massive agricultural storages, the distribution of food, both to Egyptians and surrounding nations, the finances, money, livestock, land and taxation, the people, organizing them for survival and service, and God's plan, the preservation of Israel and the fulfillment of the covenant promise, right? So in essence, Joseph became a steward of life itself. He managed seed, storehouses, wealth, land, people and destiny. And he did it faithfully with the wisdom God had given him. So it just shows you the, you know, the wonderful heart of when we start to really take serious that what we got and start looking after it, God will just multiply. Yeah, bless us for our faithfulness in being stewards, right? And so basically, the stewardship of the life of Joseph. Joseph's life is one of the clearest pictures of faithful stewardship in the scriptures. From the moment he was sold into slavery to his exaltation as ruler over Egypt, he constantly demonstrated qualities that set himself apart as God's chosen vessel, right? You know, number one, he was a steward in every season. In Potiphar's house, he was a steward of another man's possessions faithfully. In the prison, he stewarded people, administrations, even his own spiritual abilities in there, like he walked with God by the Spirit. In the palace, he stewarded a nation, resources, economy, and survival during a famine. His stewardship grew with each test, household, prison, and the palace. So he first became steward in the house, then in the prison, then in the palace. And the key qualities that he carried, that carried him through, was his faithfulness in little and in much. He had integrity, refusing to sin when he was tempted. He had wisdom and discretion that came from God. He had dependency on God, giving him credit for every interpretation and success. He had resilience in the face of betrayal and false accusation and hardship. And the bigger picture, God's hand in his stewardship. So Joseph himself testified, Genesis 15, verse 20, "But as for you, you fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So his stewardship was never just about grain, money or people. It was about the preservation of life and the fulfillment of God's covenant promise and the eventual unfolding of God's redemptive plan through Israel. So the lessons for us today is that Joseph teaches us is that true stewardship begins with faithfulness in small things, even in another man's house. So, you know, like if you clean for someone, you know, you're going to be faithful in that house. You're going to do the things right. You're going to make it better than what it was, right? And we was always taught in the ministry that we used to belong to, if you go somewhere, if someone lends you something, always return it better than what it was when you received it. And it's a great witness. And they learned that from these scriptures, what I'm reading you now. So God's presence makes all the difference. You know, Joseph prospered because the Lord was with him. And we got to remember that without God, we're nothing. This is all God's heart, all God's love for all of his children to be prosperous and to be successful and to abound. So, and remember, like, adversity is preparation. So his time in slavery and in prison prepared him for the leadership in the palace. It's amazing when you think about it. So stewardship is more than about possessions, it's about destiny. And God entrusted Joseph with life, nations and the future. So my final thoughts is that Joseph's life shows us that a steward is not just a caretaker of resources, but a vessel for God's wisdom, faithfulness and purpose. From the pit to Potiphar's house, from the prison to the palace, Joseph remained steadfast, and in the end he became a saver of nations and a channel for God's blessings. So that was my sharing.